I miss a green, for example, I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Fried Egg Podcast. We've got a Friday four ball. We've got Tron Carter from No Laying Up, DJ Pyhowski from Scratch, and we're joined by Zach Blair from Independent Contractor of the PGA Tour. Welcome on.
Thanks, Andy.
Glad to be here, Andy.
ZB, thanks for joining.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Exciting day.
Yeah.
It was. A lot of stuff happened out there.
Did you have a premonition that it was going to be a big day in one way or another?
I was feeling pretty good, warmed up nice, and came crashing down pretty quick.
So we were, like, I feel like you want to kick off kind of how we started our day, how we took in the morning here?
Yeah, we were up pretty late last night, so none of us got out to the course super early, but got out, cranked out some work, and headed out to 10 to catch ZB playing with Blaine Barber and Tyrone Van Aswegen.
Van Aswegen.
Yeah. I always pronounce. Somebody asked me how he pronounced his name, and I totally.
Aswegen.
Totally told him.
Blaine and ZB were offended that we didn't come out to watch him yesterday.
I was out there.
Yeah.
You guys weren't.
I blame my poor performance
on that.
Well,
so I think
that.
Part of it was that you got it going when Andy got out there.
For sure. Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to carry over a little bit of that this morning, I think.
Yeah. Get
our man was kind of on the cut line, needed to dig deep.
Started plus four.
Trying to get some good vibes going.
You
were loose out there? You were loose? You were acknowledging, fist pumping?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was ready to go.
Do you try to figure out what the cut's going to be before you tee off if you're kind of on the borderline? Or?
Well, I mean, I feel like you always have a pretty good idea. It's usually, I mean, historically, if you kind of just double it. It's usually pretty close, at least.
Okay.
So yesterday it was at one over,
gotcha.
Went to two. Looks like that's what it ended up. So it's usually fairly close.
It's a good formula. I bet it applies to all sorts of golf, even down to, like, you know, club championships. If somebody's grinding for the cut, double the cut line.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty scientific.
Yeah. It's a good bit of information. So ZB gets off to a hot start. He's striping it.
Should have birdied the first.
You driver on 10?
Three wood.
That was an aggressive play.
Yeah, I'm a big hitter. I'm a big hitter, so.
You almost ran out of the fairway.
Yeah, I did. I caught it downwind, got a big bounce. Hit lob wedge from about 105 downwind.
Caught the downslope
and barely missed the putt.
Gnarly kick, yeah. It was a little bit unlucky.
Yeah, I mean, it turned out in a perfect spot. Just barely missed the putt. Then, hit a good drive on two. Saw the no laying up crew around. Couldn't lay up. Yeah. So,
How good is that through it?
Really good. Almost. Yeah, hit it really good.
John was excited about that.
It's like 6 inches.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it would go a little more left with the wind, but just kind of caught the lip of the bunker and had a pretty straightforward bunker shot. Hit it up there to about 10 feet, made it. And then, you know, same mindset on 12.
So,
no laying up guys out there watching. Can't hit iron off the tee.
Did you go for it yesterday?
12 is a cool set of.
Yeah.
I don't want to say you're a short hitter, because I think you're one of the longer ones out there, but it seems like...
That's what proved
you hit it. You hit it by the wagon on 16.
Yeah, you pounded that one on 16.
Yeah, I hit a couple good ones, but I mean, anytime it's firm and fast, I definitely can keep it up out there, but...
So, on 12, it seems like the shorter hitters are going for it, and the longer guys are laying up.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know, it was kind of a weird setup. I mean, people were hitting like 7 iron off the tee. So it was, there was plenty of room out there, and it wasn't that bad of a play. It was a good wind both days, kind of had a little help. It was blowing off the left, so the water wasn't really in play, I don't think. I mean, yesterday, I think, like, one guy hit it in the water, so.
Really? Where's it been yesterday?
Like, back right.
You almost fell into the water yesterday.
I did almost fall into the water. That would have been a I mean, pretty equivalent to my 9 today. So
it seemed like you had just a lot of things, just the ball didn't fall in or bounce the wrong way.
Well, we were talking about that, and it's like, it's cool, you know, you get so into the habit of like following the leaders, following the big names, following all the stuff, and it's like going out and watching you three today, and like Blaine was around the lead for a while, like it's just so cool how many stories are out there. Like there's 130 stories out there every day that like nobody sees because they ever, you know, they're following the same.
Well, you're saying
how
when you see on the scoreboard, like,
yeah,
oh, homeboy shot 74, homeboy shot 76, and like there's no context to it. And then when you walk all day with somebody, you're like, man, that could have been
totally. It's a 74 where you, it could be a 74 where nothing went in and everything lived out, and you almost fallen in the water, all that stuff. Or it could be a 74 where you're just rolling in 10 footers for par all day.
Yeah.
And like you have no idea what. It's just, I don't know. If anyone's going to a tournament, like, I cannot stress enough how good it is to just get out and, like, just get away from the crowds. Like, just go follow, like, just go follow three, like, just follow three normal dudes. And just, like, that sets your baseline for how the course is playing. Like, I was telling Tron, like, I learned more about the course watching today than, like, I have in the last couple years. Just following kind of the featured groups where everybody's tripping all over each other, and
yeah,
it's a mess.
I think you see the ebbs and flows of rounds. Like, you know, like Blaine on 11, like, he had, you know, the layup, he had that bad third shot, and then he made, like, a 15-footer. That was a huge putt for his round. Like, granted, like, the round didn't turn out the way he wanted to, but, like, it kept his momentum. Like, you made some really big par putts in that stretch before getting to 17.
Yeah.
You know, where it seemed like that kept the momentum going.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I made that good one on 15 and 14, kind of, you know, like 12, 15 footers for par, and those are kind of the things that keep the round going. And, you know, Blaine, you know, like you said, he made that big putt on 11 that, you know, obviously his day didn't turn out how he wanted, but it could have went a little south early. But sometimes you got to make those putts.
How much do you pay attention to your playing partner? I mean, I know it's a different situation this week because your buddies were playing, but, like, how much do you pay attention to what the other guys around you are doing just for conversation, or do you just try to focus on your own?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of got to play it by ear a little bit. You know, obviously most people, if they're playing bad, aren't going to be as chatty or whatever, but, yeah, I mean, I like to chat it up a little bit with the guys out there. If people are playing well, it's obviously nice to have groups where everyone's kind of vibing off each other and you got the positive momentum.
Yeah.
But, you know, we definitely didn't have that today.
You want to talk about 17?
Yeah.
Let's dive in.
So
16, though. Or, I'm sorry, 15. Your second shot in there, that was just crazy how the wind.
It ballooned out the pine straw. Right? Like,
man, I towed one down a little bit, thinking the wind was going to take it, and I was kind of right in between clubs where I had to hit that one good. I mean, I was like 195 or something. I was just trying to hit a 6-iron on the green, and it just didn't turn. But that's kind of just how the week went. Just
yeah.
It was kind of like a fluky
What are your stock yardages for irons?
I don't really know, to be honest.
It's
just
kinda,
he's a field player.
I'm a field player.
He's like Tron.
Well, plus you.
Man, yeah.
Plus you play altitude a lot.
Yeah,
Tron,
but
not.
I mean, I played not at altitude more. So I mean, but it totally depends. You know, if I had to like put a number on it, it would be like 7-irons go like 165, and then I just kind of.
And it's hot. It was hot.
It
so
was.
Balls,
yeah.
Balls jumping a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
sort of
every
right.
week, you know, it kind of. You know, varies depending on how hot it is, you know, what altitude you're at. So it's kind of hard to have a stock number. That's why you get the TrackMan out, like DJ, and get it all dialed in.
He has a TrackMan?
I've heard that, yeah.
Do you have a TrackMan?
Negative.
Field player.
Okay.
You're not in with big data.
Well, he is in
big data. Yeah, shout out to Qualtrics.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Free ad. So if you had like 137 to an island green, wind blown in off the left, what would you hit?
I would pull out the 9, then go back to the bag for the 8. And yeah, man, I mean, honestly, I had just made birdie off 16.
Great
up and down, you know, make a nice like 8-footer, and you go to that hole, you know, you go to 17 knowing that you're going to have some adrenaline, kind of pumping, and I mean,
there's a big crowd out there, right?
There's nice,
like a
nice
Friday
crowd. Yeah, nice crowd for some,
kind of
for some, exactly.
Yeah. Flavor.
Yeah. So I mean, you know,
yeah.
I mean, Blaine didn't hit his best shot of the day, obviously, and his ended up going in the water, and that kind of affected my club choice a little bit. But
what
I mean,
he hit it what, short?
Yeah, he hit it a little
short, right?
Wind kind of floated and
Ivy League out to the right, and so I got up there and just I mean,
Neil's asking what an Ivy League is over here. We got a little crowd over here.
This is like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
Randy,
Neil, Sarson just walked in.
There's gonna be some people walking in and out of this spot. Great.
It's a good atmosphere.
Yeah, it's like a commune.
Yeah, the Ivy League is just kind of like the high pop up right, real safe shot, real smart shot.
Yeah, very smart.
Real smart shot.
But usually,
it doesn't
usually
get you in trouble too often
because it lands soft.
Yeah, lands soft, but obviously with the island green with water all around, it wasn't it wasn't great. And so I sat up there and we were just trying to hit it kind of in the middle of the green. I had told Andy, my caddy,
Not this Andy.
Andy Martinez, my caddy, like, just let's hit it in the middle of the green, not on the top shelf, and if it bounces up, that's great, but let's just kind of get out of here. It's a tough hole today with the wind. And, I mean, I flagged one right at it, never thought that it wasn't going to be right in the middle, and, man, just got the gust of the day and ended up coming up short, and... Yeah, it was pretty sad.
All right, so going back
so
to
it was a tin cup like moment, and if you recall,
well, so
tin cup,
all
there was
guys,
a gust from the gods.
Gust from the gods. All three of you guys hit it in the water.
Yeah, we all hit
so
it in the water.
Hit it in the water too. Deep,
yeah,
I think right.
Yep.
And then those two go to the drop zone, and you wanted to hang back. So why?
It was such a good number. You know, I just got that huge gust, and it, you know, that was the only reason. My first one, I think, thought didn't turn out good. And, I mean, I was just really comfortable with the number. I had hit a couple balls from the drop zone earlier in the week, just messing around, and didn't love the shot with the wind and with the pin. And, you know, I knew I needed to play well, so I was kind of...
What are the good pins from that drop zone?
Like the front pins.
Yeah.
Just because you got the
yeah,
second
you,
ball.
Yeah. I
so
mean,
on Sunday, is it like a... Like,
oh,
is it like
so
a
hard.
Flip?
I mean, that back
is
right
that
one,
it's kind of like...
The Sunday one is back right, like right behind the bunker.
I feel like, for me at least, the...
Poor ass is ripping beers.
The drop zone, I feel like you're almost kind of conceding making bogey a little bit, especially to like the back pins, because it's pretty firm, and the wind was weird, you know? So I just thought I had such a good number, and I was pretty confident and felt good about the shot that I could hit one in there close, and... I mean, my second one, I flagged it. I thought I was going to make it, you know. I had the Tiger Woods heartbeat going,
yeah.
You know, when you flag
God.
One on the video game.
They were playing Tiger Woods on 17
I saw that.
Green.
I saw that,
well,
yeah.
I made a hole in one.
I mean, I didn't. Eight better than me.
Yeah. So actually, here's what we need to do. Last year, Russell Knox made a 9.
No, 11. 11.
He made an 11?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a 9.
Maybe.
I think it was a 9.
I think it was an 11. But, yeah.
You didn't
whatever.
Even have the high score of the day.
He
I didn't?
No. Honor bomb.
Well, here he just came.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I had the high score on 17.
So
then.
Russell made it. I think it was a 9. Maybe it was a 9.
Look it up.
We'll look it up. Yeah, the research department will get on it.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Our intern.
Big data is on it.
Qualtrics. Sponsored by Qualtrics.
So this year we set up the video game on 17. He came out and played with us.
Saw that.
So you should do that next year.
Yeah, we'll try and squeeze that in.
Although
some,
we got the shootout.
We got the shootout, so it'll be
tough.
What,
so talk real quick. This week, you know, it's disappointing you're going to be going home, but this week's all about the shootout.
It is. It is. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I couldn't get it done in the shootout, but and missed the cut. So.
And you want to talk about the shootout real quick?
I have a question.
Just for what it is. I mean,
can we stay on 17?
No,
it's what it is.
I have a question. You know,
we got a shootout. An ad read for the shootout coming up. He made
sponsored
a 9.
By
Qualtrics.
Sponsored by Qualtrics.
I think that your wokeness to, you know, strategy,
angles,
and width was the reason that you didn't go to the drop zone with everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, could play a part in that, but...
You're too concerned with width. You're not can turn left with depth.
I like it.
And you gotta gain depth to get left.
On some level, you're probably just respecting the architect too much.
Yeah, I mean,
slap in the face to go to the drop zone. Such
a
great hole.
It is.
What do you think about the changes overall?
Good, yeah.
Hold on, we're not done with 17 yet.
We're not done with 17.
Oh, okay.
Charles is litigating 17.
So the crowd got behind you.
Okay, so I hit the first one in the water,
yeah.
And the crowd saw that I stayed, in the tin cup zone.
People respected
so
that.
They respected that, yeah. And, they got behind me. And then when I dunked the second one in the water, they got even more behind me. I mean, they started cheering, Zach, Zach, Zach.
That was
AD. Yeah. Then I knocked another one in, so that hurt. Then I went down to the 9-iron and thought if I didn't get this one on the green, I might just run out of balls and just dive in.
That you know, you hit an awesome second shot.
I did.
And then I went back out to 17 and just saw that, like, if you landed anything near pin high, it was just like a... It was like a
and I
ball
knew,
landing on a trampoline.
Yeah, I knew that going in, too. I mean, I had seen a couple shots, like, when I was eating lunch on PGA Tour Live that people...
Shout out PGA Tour Live.
Yeah, yeah. And,
Swanton.
And so, I mean, I had seen some guys that obviously hit it higher than me and probably have some more spin, even having troubles kind of keeping it on that top shelf. So that's kind of why I was hitting, you know, trying to hit that shot, like, 12 on and just...
Yeah,
I mean,
bounce it.
Yeah,
it
I definitely
goes,
was
you know.
Giving a lot of respect to the hole. So, killed me.
And then...
Didn't respect you back.
It did not.
I mean, but it was crazy. Like,
what'd you do?
We out there, we saw Furyk pump two of them.
I don't know that I've seen so many balls in the water.
We saw Phil.
I think it was playing as the hardest
hole. Yeah,
it
said that. I saw that somewhere. I saw, like...
Second hardest. Research department says second hardest
hole. I saw, like, 29 balls in the water or something like that or more. That's a lot.
So many.
Yeah.
Last year, there was, I think, 45 or something like that. Or the average...
whole tournament?
No, yeah. Someone said...
there wasn't a lot of wind last year.
We were trying to
come up
with, like, a...
That's a tough hole with the wind. I mean,
trying to come up with an over-under for total balls in the water. So the average over the last, like, 10 years was 45.
You know what
45.
I found interesting?
29 today.
Is that the top players, they set them up well at the players because they go early morning off 10, like the featured groups. So they get 17 in the morning.
On Thursday.
Whatever, either day.
Okay.
So they're always off 10 early, and then they play 1 in the afternoon. So they tee off 1 in the afternoon. So then they come through late afternoon. Less wind.
It's not always the case. I mean, sometimes it calms down.
Look at the
trip. Yeah.
I mean,
it's just a small nuance. I realize.
You're way into the conspiracy theory game this week. You've been talking about.
I'll tell you, the blimp was what I think got me on 17. It was a low flying blimp, right? Did you guys hear that?
I heard that. It was buzzing. I've never heard such a general nuisance to society.
Big
Zeppelin. Yeah, Zeppelin's coming back against the players.
I think, you know, my friends had sent me something last week. They were like, man, you are playing the par threes great this year. I think my scoring average was like 2.98. I screwed that one up this week. But
this is
going to
hurt the average.
The 9 on 17. The 9 on 17 and the 6 on 8.
Big data to check out the strategy for how you calculate that.
It's
average.
Actually,
it's
you could,
outliers
you
are
you know, means, the average, the mean,
yeah.
Not as good. I'm more of a median guy.
Much more median guy.
Yeah, because that gets rid of the outliers.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got
like
a median
more.
Big data. Qualtrics.
What's your... All right, so I heard... One of the weirdest things, not weird, one of the weirdest things I heard was a couple years ago, Jason Day led the tour in scoring average on par threes. And someone was asking him at the end of the year, like, why do you lead the tour in scoring average on par threes? And he was like, oh, I don't ever go for pins on par threes, like, unless it's, you know, 17 down the stretch and I have to hit. He's like, I just aim for the middle of the green pretty much every time. And if I make it, I make it. If I make 3, like, I never make 4, I never make 5. Like,
yeah, par threes, I think, are super crucial. I mean, you always see it. Guys that play the par threes good seem to have nice finishes. Because, I mean, they're just, you know, I don't, for whatever reason, everyone plays the par fives and par fours pretty similar. And par threes, I think, are a big key.
I think they kind of symbolize, like, how you're hitting... your irons also,
yeah.
Because, like, they're a good accurate representation of your ball striking, because they're typically
flat lie,
a little bit tougher than, like, you know, for especially for longer hitters. You know, they're longer shots than they're used to seeing. Like, they're good.
Yeah, exactly.
They're a good determinant of, like, how strong your iron play is par threes. Like, and if you're playing, if you're scraping the ball around, you're going to play the par threes bad.
Usually. Well, yeah, because you see, like, you know, the big hitters out there, they're hitting at, like, 320. A lot of holes, they're getting, like, short wedges in,
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know. Even if they hit it in the rough, kind of just gouging it out. Then they get up to a par three, and it's, like, 200 yards. It's like they don't get their advantage
yeah.
of hitting it
yeah.
past everybody.
Truly playing the same course.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the course setup. How good is it
so
out there?
So good. I mean, like, best I've ever seen any setup ever.
You said after the round you would pay $50,000.
To make the cut.
To make the cut.
To somehow be thrown in to make the cut. Yeah, I mean, it was so... I just want to play it again. It's so good. That's... I mean, it's... Ridiculous.
What do you look like when it's that good like that? What's different on against a bad week?
Well, I mean, it just the way the ball is kind of reacting to everything. You know, good shots are reacting nice. You know, they stop. You know, they're running out. But if you hit a bad shot, they really are taking off. And the fairways are running out. And the greens are perfect, you know. I mean, the whole course is just ridiculous.
So, all right, so you step up to 18T. You're ninth hole of the day.
Yeah.
After making nine.
Yeah.
And, like, during when all this is transpiring, did the decision-making kind of speed up for you during it all? Like, did it fly by, or was it just like, after the first or second one goes in the water, you're like, screw it, I probably missed the cut at this point.
I feel like you should clear up one thing. Many people are saying, just people on Twitter, were saying that Andy was trying to keep you.
No.
You got to clear this up.
Yeah, somebody asked us that after the round, too. They were like, yeah, I saw after the second one went in the water, Andy wouldn't get a ball out. And I mean, we were just kind of slowing down a little bit to try and figure out what we should do. But, I mean, he was fine with it. I mean, I knew going into the hole, I mean, going into the round today that I kind of, you know, I needed a good round with no mistakes, really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, after you hit the second one in the water, it's kind of like, days over, basically.
Yeah.
So I got a question. You know, I don't want to take this off subject, but I want to hear about your caddy and his alley backgammon games.
Backgammon. Yeah, he's a pretty. I mean, he loves backgammon. He always talks about it. I'm like, yo, Andy, where you at? Like, I'm at the course. He's like, oh, I'm at a coffee shop. Like. Got a backgammon game going on. I was like, yo, we got like a practice round. Like, let's get over here.
Does he like set? Does he find them on Craigslist? Like,
I don't know. I think there's kind of like
I think there's a
big like a network. Yeah, yeah. Of backgammon players. Every town he goes in, you know, he's
like,
got his games.
I'm not very familiar with backgammon. Is it like? Can you gamble on backgammon?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a hustler?
Oh yeah.
With it?
I don't. I mean, I think he plays
with.
I think with people he plays with, you know, their equal talent level. So I wouldn't really consider him a hustler. But
I don't
yeah,
know
I
how the game works. Can you be good at it?
Yeah.
Oh
dice.
Yeah, yeah. It's the
it's
most
not
like
a game
of
luck. It's
no.
A game of
yeah.
Work.
Oh, for sure. I mean, any game with any game with dice is, you know, has luck involved. But I mean, it like it's more strategic and mathematical than like chess.
Can you play?
I mean,
you play with
I watch every once in a while. I mean, I play every once in a while. I'm not like, I'm not great.
So is it like when you, so like I suck at chess.
Yeah.
And when I get in the ring with anybody that knows anything about chess, they
yeah.
just, they mock me.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
backgammon
is the
same
way.
Way.
I mean, unless somebody like just rolls the dice unbelievably, a good player will beat you every time, you know.
It's kind of like golf.
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
So, you know, with the setup, you know, over the weekend...
Back to the golf.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah. We talked enough about
that.
That
was all the questions
yeah.
we had about that.
Yeah. and I think we need to do a separate podcast with your cat.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's Illuminati. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Knows where the bodies are buried.
How many times around does he say... He used to be on the bag for Johnny Miller.
And Tom Landman.
Yeah. So how many times around does he say, you know, well, Johnny did this because, you know, if Johnny was on your bag,
yeah,
he would probably just say, you know, well, I would do this.
I mean, I wouldn't say he goes into it like that, but he definitely brings stuff up, like good stuff. It's nice to have somebody on the bag that has had that much success and won that many times with, you know, guys like Johnny Miller and Tom Lehman. So, I mean, I don't think there's ever like a situation that we've been in where he hasn't been in with one of those guys. So it's like, I think the first like 15 tournaments he caddied for me, or 10 tournaments or something like that, he had won that event with one of those guys. You know what I mean? So he's like, you know, you're walking down the ninth hole or something, and he's like, you know, Johnny one time hit like a, you know, he got mad at me because I gave him a 135 number, and I told him it was a pitching wedge, and he wanted to hit a 9 to the back right flag, and he ended up hitting wedge to like 12 feet below the pin, and it was like, that was the wrong club. I should have hit 9. You know, he's got all these stories, so it's cool to hear.
Does he just have an epic yardage book then, like with all this stuff, or does he just remember it?
I think both, but yeah, I mean, awesome. I mean, I don't think there's anyone really out there that's caddied as much as him. You know, maybe two or three guys.
What, 48 fluff. Years?
Yeah, 48 years. So I mean, it's a beast.
What's his best Johnny story?
It's too many. I mean, every course you play, there's numbers. But one thing, you know, you always hear people talk about, like, how he did half yardages. But that's false. And he always, you know, corrects people. They're like, I heard you gave Johnny Miller half yardages. And he goes, no, I got half yardages on the greens. And that's what he did. So, like, a pin, if it was, like, 11 from the right, but he thought it was, like, 11 and a half. So that's where that whole story got kind of... Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then he would do all the math.
Yeah.
His attention to detail must be amazing. Because,
yeah.
Like, we were talking to you after the round, and, like, four different times, you're telling the story, and he's like, yeah, so we're, like... You know, we're on, I forget what hole, six.
Six.
Six, and I had 134. He's like, yeah, it's 133. And then I hit this shot, and I'm this close to the bunker. Well, he was actually this close.
Yeah, he's very, like, very exact. I'm definitely, you know, not quite like that. I remember my... I remember my first year out here, I was like, so what is it, like 145? And he's like, no, it's 144. And I was like, bro, what's the difference? Like, I was like, you think, like, anyone can hit it that, like, perfect? And he was like, well, yeah, Johnny Miller can. But no, he's definitely pays attention, and it's nice to have somebody on the bag that, you know, does work that hard and kind of knows all that stuff.
Here's a real quick take for you guys. Get your reaction. Johnny Miller, I think because he does TV... I think people completely disregard how good of a player he was.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my gosh.
Well, and how good of a ball striker he was. Because that was the other story
for
Andy. Was like talking about back when Johnny played at Oakmont, and then at Augusta when he used to have to use the club's caddies.
Yeah.
And he would walk with them around and just like, want to run out there.
Yeah.
Take
I mean, the crazy thing... I know people have their opinions on Johnny Miller, and, you know, you see stuff on Twitter all the time.
I think we got 6 thumbs up around the table here.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's definitely people out there that, you know, don't like him. I know a lot of golfers don't like him. And the thing that always, like, baffles me is these players, like, think that he wasn't good or something
right.
like that. I mean, he was amazing. I had Tom Watson. I was playing with Tom Watson at Harbortown one time. And he hands down told me Johnny Miller from, I don't know what years it was, but there was like a 3-year stretch, said he was the best player to ever play.
This is the Tron take.
This is Tron's take on DJ.
On Dustin.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he
that's...
said over a 9-hole stretch, Dustin might be the greatest player of all time.
Yeah. But I mean, these people, like, you know, Johnny gets a little, you know, critical sometimes. And, you know, will be like, man, you can't hit it in the water there, blah, blah, blah. But like, or talking about choking or whatever. But he's been there and done that. It's
also,
not like he hasn't.
And he choked.
Yeah.
Sometimes too. Like he's been seen both sides. Of
he's
it,
a truth
know?
Speaker.
Yeah.
He's
a truth. Exactly.
Speaker.
Exactly.
So he can.
And the thing about it is, when you hit it, like most of, like 99% of the time, I would say, when you hit a bad shot, like you choked, like in some form. You know, in some
you
way,
didn't execute.
Yeah, you didn't do
proper,
what you were supposed
yeah.
to do. So he's not saying like, "Man, you choked. You suck." He's saying like, "You didn't do what you were supposed to do there. You choked." He's just being honest, and people, I think.
And it's also the best TV. Yeah. It just makes it so much more, like, real to watch.
Yeah.
When it's just not kind of run through all of the, like, filters and kind of, like...
Exactly. I mean, I went to dinner. I was at dinner with him the other... He's for sure, like, one of the top five most knowledgeable people about golf in the world. And to hear his stories are unbelievable. Like, at dinner the other night, he always has, you know, these stories about the way he practiced or the, you know, all this crazy stuff. So it's really cool to, you know, be able to know him and just, like, hear all the stuff.
How did he practice?
Well, he was talking about, we were at dinner with me, Tony Finau, and Daniel Summerhays. And,
It was the Utah Mafia.
And he was, you know, he was talking about how he used to practice to get his club face, you know, where he wanted it. And,
yes.
You know, he said, you know, he would practice, like, getting it square and then getting it open a little bit and then getting it shut. And he said he could get it down to, like, a 16th of an inch or something like that where he wanted it at impact to be able to hit all these shots. And people think he's, like, crazy sometimes when he says this stuff, like, on TV or in clinics. But, like, I mean, from the stories and the records of his and, you know, having Andy tell me all this stuff, like, I mean, it's all true. I mean, he was unbelievable.
Have you ever thought of your club face at impact?
No.
Face awareness.
People always ask me, yeah, I'm like the worst when people are like, so how do you like hit a draw or like how do you hit a cut? And I'm like, I just kind of do it.
Most important thing you do when you're hitting the fade is you gotta fade it.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's true.
Andy was telling a story on the range the other day about, the, like, I think it was the 1975 Masters, which is, like, one of the best ones ever. He said Johnny didn't make, like...
Because they couldn't have their own caddies at that time.
So, like, Johnny missed, I don't know, like, five or six putts on the front nine, like, within 8 feet of the hole.
Yeah.
And that was back in the day when the caddies could line them up, right?
Line you up and stay there. So Andy always talks about it. It was like having, you know... instant feedback on what he was doing, you know. So he would sit there and be like, all right, like, you know, let's go left edge. And so the caddy could just sit there and watch what you're doing on the stroke. And if you missed it, he'd just be like, yeah, you know, you pulled it. Because now, you know, you kind of can get an idea from your caddy or whoever's watching, like, yeah, you kind of hit a bad putt, you pushed it. But back then, you could sit there and instantly know exactly what happened.
Going back to the round today, you said you
wrapping back around.
You chipped off the... Well, first of all, you had a really nice recovery on 18.
I know.
You didn't make par.
Gosh.
You were close, but...
That was
a pretty
incredible punch
shot. Yeah, I...
You
mean,
get that
just,
to the back of the green.
I know.
Crazy.
It was just playing... The course is playing so fast and getting those bounces.
That wind
and,
is brutal on 18.
Yeah. 18's like such a good hole. 16, 17, 18 could be the coolest three-hole stretch ever. And especially to end a golf tournament as big as the Players' Championship, it's ridiculous.
I've heard a lot of hype, you know, and I'm always someone that, you know, when I hear hype, I'm like, oh, that thing
it
stinks.
It must suck.
Yeah. Like, and I haven't been out there. It's like, yeah, maybe the best three-hole stretch.
So good.
Yeah.
I mean,
18's unbelievable.
Yeah, but I mean, think 16 and 17 are unbelievable too. I mean, you hit a good shot.
How hard is it to gauge the wind on 17? It seemed like the flags, every flag was blowing in a different direction today.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, I'm not the best person to ask, obviously.
That was a good question.
All right, so go back around. So you chipped off the green.
Yeah, I mean...
On eight,
yes. Yeah,
it's par threes, they test every fast week.
Yeah, exactly. The pin was tucked over the right bunker on eight, and it's like...
They softened that
green like
way
230,
up, right?
The left side of it, not the right.
Not the right.
There's a huge mound kind of on the right that comes off that bunker. You probably can't see it as good on TV or whatever. But I hit a four iron, and I was just trying to kind of hit it in the middle of the green and two putt or whatever, and my ball got like an inch... on the green, on the right front edge. And I mean, I had this 7-foot hill that I had to go over. And yeah, I had to chip it. And I saw somebody about 3 feet away chipped it as well. They took a nice healthy divot out of the green.
Did you clip it or did you?
Oh yeah, dude. I just nipped this thing so hard. It was ridiculous. Even Blaine was like, man, right when you hit that, I knew that was good. Hit it to about like 6 feet and cashed it.
To stay at
eight over. It was big.
Does that technically count as a putt?
Probably.
How do the statistics do it?
Yeah,
I think
probably.
It's all limited. I think it's all like shot length, like if you're on the
big
green.
Big
lasers. Yeah. It's all big data.
Yeah.
It's all big data.
Shout out to Qualtrics.
Shout out to Qualtrics. You need to take a Qualtrics break? 15-second read?
Somebody, I was doing an interview the other day, like, I don't know who it was for, but they were like, do you want to shout out your sponsors? You know, I give this like 15-minute interview and they're like, do you want to shout out your sponsors? And I was like, it's kind of like an awkward question. It's like, well, I mean,
no, I'm good.
How are you going to say no? Yeah.
Shout out to the Buck Club.
Yeah.
So, if you could change one thing at Sawgrass, what would it be?
I don't know. Not much. I mean, the course is so good. It gives you plenty of... There are a lot of birdie holes out there. The par fives are super gettable. Pretty good mixture of par threes. Eight's a little brutal with it's pretty, like, tight off the tee, pretty claustrophobic. And the green is pretty severe, especially with how firm they get this tournament. But I mean, it tests you, you know, it kind of tests how patient you're willing to be, because those back right pins, you have to just hit it in the middle of the green and just try and make like a 20 or 30 footer, because no one can get it close. So,
what's your take on four?
Four. Four is awesome.
Four.
Such a good hole.
What do you hit off the tee there?
Driver, everywhere.
Driver.
Yeah.
You hit driver everywhere?
It's like a shootout.
Yeah.
That's the one rule of the shootout.
The best piece of advice I ever got out on tour, my first year I was playing the Byron Nelson with Jerry Kelly, and he saw me hitting like a couple like hybrids or three woods off the tee, and I'm a fairly straight hitter of the ball, and he came up to me after the round and was like, dude, you need to hit driver more. And I was like, why? And he goes, that's your one advantage. You hit the driver really good. And so, you know, when most people on these tight holes are laying back with three woods or three irons or whatever off the tee, you can hit driver down there, and then that's your advantage. You can get wedges in and short irons, and they're laying back and hitting, you know, mid to long irons in, and that's where you really need to take advantage. So that was a shout out to Jerry Kelly.
Jerry Kelly's a man.
Oh, he's so cool.
Love Jerry Kelly.
Hey, since you've been on tour, besides all the Utah guys, who else has been exceptionally cool?
Everyone's been really nice, to be honest. I never had any problems with anybody. I mean, that's the one thing that I was really surprised with, was just how nice and cool everybody was. It's been pretty nice.
Should we go overrated, underrated?
I think we should go around the horn, overrated, underrated.
Okay.
Everyone has one.
Everybody has one.
Yeah.
Right. Except
this is a new it's a new segment.
You have to.
You haven't been on.
You can go.
So
you can go
segment,
last. You can go last.
Okay.
It's a new. You know, overrated, underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I'll lead it off.
I'll lead it off.
Okay.
The Buck Club logo, overrated, underrated.
Which one?
No, the
standard.
The TBC.
Oh, logo confusion.
Yeah, the TBC is the only one. Overrated, underrated.
You know, it hasn't hit mainstream appeal yet, so I'm gonna say underrated. Still,
it's
still,
not
still,
mainstream
still
appeal.
Cult.
If you cut out the
we're done.
Public merch operation.
We're done for now.
I don't want to sound. I mean,
hey,
I don't want this to be a bunch of yes men.
All right.
Telling you what you want to hear.
Yeah.
But I think it's underrated still. I think it's good. I'm not usually into the like.
It's a little big.
I would say it's
overrated because it's a little too big.
It's the tour version though. You need the.
So
you
know what it kind of reminds me? A lot of the.
That's true.
You need to make it like a lot of players.
You know,
are creating their own logos where it's just like.
Oh, dude! Some of the players, some of the logos, it's like
you need to make. If you can make the T, the B, and the C all into one character,
who are you referring to? Who are you referring to here?
I don't know. People can look it up.
We might be drinking beer.
I'll say underrated. I like how this one looks.
And Tron.
It does look like the Tim Aquana one though.
Yeah, it does look like the Tim Aquana.
It always confuses me.
Really?
Have you seen Tim Aquino?
I love
Tim
Aquino
tomorrow.
It's fantastic.
Early morning.
You know what I do? I think the one thing you can improve upon is put like, make this into like an antler somehow.
Ooh.
The little
I really like
C
that.
Right there.
Like a
make
an
that
antler.
Just a little antler.
Nah.
Oh. I like the offense. I really like the flagpole one.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
Alright, the President's Cup.
Are you asking me?
Yeah, just everybody.
I'm first. Underrated. It's great. I mean,
says,
I don't know what to tell you.
That's the guy employed by the tour.
Oh. Overrated. I'm out on exhibition golf.
Here's what I'll say about it. There are some elements of it that are drastically superior. As in the way that they choose teams,
yeah.
And the way that it's captain versus captain that is like very similar to what we did at Topgolf last night. Where it's like, I want to see who you're putting out, and then I know who I want to put out. And like, that's so much better than the Ryder Cup.
Here's why I'm out on it, really out on it right now. Liberty National.
Oh,
it
geez.
Just
that's
offends
true.
Me.
Also, yeah, but, but they're having it at Royal Melbourne.
You know how much it costs
in,
to be a member at Liberty National? A heaping pile of garbage. It's like $500,000.
So
exclusive
who,
club.
RIP Bob Cup. I just don't think he got a proper piece of land to work with.
Anyone who's out on the President's Cup, like, what I would say is, hey, like, the first week of October... Like, would you rather just it not be on?
Yeah.
This is like, it's such a dumb take to be out on the President's Cup.
Wow.
It is.
Hey.
You'd rather just, like...
Can we get Zach's
You changed my mind.
Really?
You always say
yeah.
You can't change my mind.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, would you rather not have anything going on?
Yeah.
Underrated.
Nice. People say the same thing about the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Well, ZB, I apologize.
Like,
when you make a President's Cup roster... I'm going to be rooting for the Internationals because they need to start stacking up some wins.
Whoa.
He's actually rooting for the Internationals.
Yeah, man.
It's like his year-long thing.
Oh, I want that. Like, we need to make it competitive. It needs to be a...
What's the record, like, the last...
It's not good. Not good. I think the U.S. has won, like, 7 in a row.
The Internationals kind of had it locked up. The
U.S.
Like,
is a juggernaut.
A couple years ago, right? When it was in...
Korea?
Yeah,
the U.S. kind of choked. Well,
no.
The Internationals.
That's what I'm saying. The Internationals kind of...
Lahiri had a...
Jay Day went 0-4. Number one player in the world was 0-4.
Ofer.
Bad. Not good.
Not good.
Not good.
So I'm going to say the President's Cup is underrated. I'm riding for the President's Cup this year.
I want to get back to TPC Sawgrass for my Ofer. Are we done with that?
Yeah.
You got it all off your chest? All right, I'm going to say number 9 at TPC Sawgrass, overrated, underrated.
I heard a lot of people saying, I saw a couple things on Twitter saying how bad that hole was.
I would say way overrated. I don't want to, I don't know if you're supposed to weigh in on your own.
That's fine, you can weigh in.
I love that hole. I think it's awesome. I think it's
underrated.
Yeah, you're
I think it's underrated, way underrated. I think it's awesome. Like,
I couldn't
agree
more.
It's so cool off the tee, the way that the water, like...
Yeah,
the water runs away on, like, that 45-degree angle.
Yeah,
if you
exactly
want to bail out left, you can bang it as far as you can.
You're not getting home. The entire course is like a cost.
And if you want to lay back up against the edge of that water, you might be able to get there. Like, I think that's awesome. I love that hole. The layout is so weird.
The green's amazing.
Green's awesome.
Well, and it's such a nondescript piece of the property.
I had a
too
sick up and down there today, too, to
close it out. You got
to
good
not break 80.
You got good.
To hit 80 right on the
you
head.
You know what, man? It's hard to break 80 with a 9.
No, not really. But,
and
what's your second, well, like, is that your highest score on tour today?
I think so, yeah.
What,
yeah. No. I shot 81 a couple years ago at the Honda. I had, like, 15 mud balls on...
Mud ball!
On, like, on only 14 holes. No, and so I had the Ryder Cup, like, dinner later that night at Jack Nicklaus's house, and he was like... What'd you shoot today? And I was like 81, and he was like, "This is literally what he said, like verbatim." He's like, "That's not good." I was like, "I'm aware that's not good."
Wait, you were at the Ryder Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't dig up that photo.
No, I was in the back. I was in the very back. No one could see. I sat next to the big cat. Me and him are tight. I mean, me and Tiger go way back.
To where?
Memorial a few years ago.
Oh, right.
Right, yeah.
I forgot about that.
He's the coolest guy ever. I like him so much.
He faced some adversity that day.
He did. But the thing that I always stress, he got some of the worst breaks ever. I'm serious. It should have been a lot better. He made like quadruple on number 18, triple on 17, and he tripled 9. And you're saying tough to break 80 with a 9?
Yeah.
Tough to break 84 or 5 when you have like 5 others.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, he's so nice.
You gotta love Memorial. That's gotta be
dude, he was the coolest guy. Oh, Memorial?
Yeah.
Oh, Fairfield. So good.
Second shot golf course, like quintessential example of a place where you can hit driver a lot more than
mm-hmm.
other guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty generous off the tee.
Right, Kirk and Andy, last one. What do you got?
Oh,
overrated
and
underrated.
What I was going to say. I had one in the chamber.
Focus,
what
bro.
Did Jack serve at the Ryder Cup dinner?
We had like steak and lobster or something. It was real,
surf
real nice.
Surf and turf.
Yes.
All right, we'll go changes to 15.
Overrated, underrated?
You fired up. I don't know if
this has had that many ratings.
The thing
the
thing
well,
I don't know I don't know where I'm at on the overrated underrated part of this.
You can also say accurately
this debate, but I will say that sometimes when you add length on a hole, it doesn't make it harder, and that's an example of one where when the tee was up 25 yards or whatever it was, if you pulled a tee shot, you got in trouble. Like, you would go in the trees left. Like, my ball today would have been, like, deep in the trees in trouble.
Yeah.
And now I'm, like, okay to pull it left. So I would say, what is that? Overrated? Am I overrated there?
That's what
there
it
was
is.
Some, I
you
think
better
there was,
hope your boy Wensloff doesn't listen to this.
What are your thoughts on the changes?
I don't like that change. I like a lot of the changes. I grew to like...
Can I do another overrated underrated?
Yeah.
Oh, but these guys got to answer theirs first.
Well,
I
he's got no opinion.
I got no opinion. Yeah.
I don't really care for 15.
I love.
I don't like the tee shot.
It's a great hole, I think.
I like the. I think it's too long. Like you said, it's 475.
But I mean,
in the wind, and when the wind.
Like it was straight into today,
yeah.
and I'm a short player, and I hit 6 iron, so it's not too long,
well,
especially with how firm it plays. It's
I've
not
been
too long.
I've consistent with this take that's the best place to watch tee shots on the golf course.
I don't know. 16's pretty awesome.
Everybody kind of hits it in the same spot.
What's your favorite tee shot out there?
Not 17.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No, 17's good. The favorite tee shot is probably 18. That's a cool one.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
an awesome one.
You gotta like. Sack up.
Yeah.
And
seriously.
Hit especially with
gunshot.
That wind today. That's a hard wind. Because you have to just...
That's a brutal tee shot to
yeah,
be coming
just,
into after a 9.
Yeah, and I got up to that tee ball, and I'm like, shit, I only got like 1 or 2 balls left. And Andy's like, yeah, just start it out like 15 yards out into the water. I was like, okay.
All right, so I was fascinated today watching you line up... watching you line up before a shot, like you put your left foot out and then you kind of aim up, like aim way left, and then you kind of bring yourself
you got
back.
You got the happy feet.
So, hey,
yeah,
like Trine has a big issue that he aims about 30 yards right.
He does.
So,
yeah,
I play a trap.
So, can you explain to him that most good ball strikers aim left?
Yeah, I can't really speak for anybody else. I know I like to aim left, just kind of hit the Freddy Couples like push. It's a nice shot.
That's where it's at?
Yeah.
I know. And you can do whatever you want with your hands.
I will say, Tron fighting this alignment issue has been very good for my pocketbook.
We're in
a mega surplus right now.
Yeah.
What's your last overrated, underrated?
I don't know if it's an overrated, underrated, or just what were your guys' thoughts as viewers on 12?
I thought the changes were I don't want to say Much Ado About Nothing, because it was a shithole.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, did you see it? You saw it before,
right? I thought it was a cool hole before, because it gave an accurate driver of the ball a big advantage, because they could smoke driver down the right and get like a 70, 80 yard little perfect wedge with a perfect view of the green. Let's check the yardage.
Let's check the yardage out.
I thought it was cool. Where was the tee different than yesterday, today?
No. I mean, it was up like 5 yards.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On that same tee
box. Yeah. It was up like 5 yards.
Do we know if they're going to move it? Like, there's that like forward tee.
I don't think they can move it. You can't move it anymore. Guys were hitting like 8 iron off the tee.
But I almost feel like they need to move it closer to the point where
that
bunker, make it to like where you
the
can't
bunker's
play
the problem.
It.
What's the problem with it?
So I think it's too. It extends too far. I don't know. I'm not.
You said no. You said it was too wide.
Yeah. No, it's too long. So I cut part of it out.
I can't tell you how many guys I saw lay up this week and dump it right in the bunker.
What I would have liked to see.
TVA?
This is what I would have liked to see. I would have liked to see it be kind of like a pot bunker up at where the end of that bunker is, and all fairway where it is, and have the...
It's really wide.
And have it be like almost like a blind shot if you hit it down left by the water to where the bunker kind of obstructed your view.
Yeah, like something... So I like when you lay up, you get to pick your angle.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it would have been a better hole if, you could have laid up down the left and kind of brought the water into play on a layup.
Where the pin is today, it's like if you wanted to have like a good angle at the pin, you hit it in the bunker.
Yeah.
Which is like,
I would agree.
The
bunker
is
too long. You needed to be able to lay up close to the water. I think you would have seen higher scores.
Yeah.
Guys would have been like, I'm going to hit like 5 iron down the left and get that good angle and like hot pull one, snap it in the water.
I think you want to lull somebody into a sense of security on a layup shot.
Yeah.
And make it really wide, because then somebody's like,
you get lazy and
kind
of dumb.
And it's like with the way they set it up, it's like to lay up, you're like, it's like hitting like a shot on 8.
Yeah.
You're like, I have to hit a 4 iron into a bowling alley. Yeah.
It's not that tight.
So I think a takeaway for me today was, like, walking around yesterday, I was curious to ask Andy his opinion on the bunker on 11 that's, like, 100 yards off the tee. off the tee.
And he was just talking about, like, aesthetic bunkers.
Yeah, so
basically.
Bad.
You know, just...
It's kind of a waste of money. It's a waste of money.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the huge ones, at least.
Yeah.
It seems like they blend water to bunker to pine straw.
Yeah, it's
trying
to create a visual effect
of
a tee. But I think that's a hole where there's a real, like on 12, there's a real missed opportunity to do something cool visually.
It's just, and
they've got like these like knockoff church
pew
mounds in there. They're like off brand.
They keep showing that
discount
aerial that, like, every time I see it, I'm just like,
so overrated? I don't even know if that was an overrated under.
Well, here's the other thing. I do like that, like, if you have to go for it, you have to hit a really fucking good shot. You know, like, there's no qualms about it. Like, you shouldn't just be able to, like,
I think the other thing is,
drive the green. Like, have to hit a really good shot.
In that same vein, when we're, like, it's different watching it through the prism of a Thursday or Friday versus if a guy has to, if step on the gas pedal on Sunday.
I heard a lot of guys talking about how driver wasn't a good play to yesterday's pin. Like, because in that chipping area to the right, like, unless you got, on a downslope or a really bad break, it was pretty, like, straightforward little lob over the bunker into the wind, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they said, like, only, like, 12 guys went for the green.
It's crazy.
That's not what they wanted.
I was blown away today just how... I don't think I saw you...
The numbers did not play out to the...
They need a higher quality.
I don't think I saw you leave a chip short both days.
The greens were just firm.
I know they were firm, but, like, that was, like, a big takeaway.
I left one short on 13, short in the jaws.
Yeah,
I was hanging on the lip. Can't believe that didn't go in.
But some of them, I know, I think that you guys don't leave, like, any chip short.
You always give it a chance.
Chip short.
Yeah.
I'm always scared to hit them long.
Yeah.
No, but like on 16, you were just
like
trying to make it. You weren't worried about
yeah
trying to get it close. You're trying to make it.
Yeah.
And I think that
that
was
a really hard chip you had on 16.
Yeah.
It was kind of tricky.
It was kind of one though where I had a few out there that were kind of like dummy proof. Like if you hit them good, they would stop a little better. But if you kind of clanked them, they would run up.
So you had to commit.
If you didn't Panther Mike them.
Yeah.
shout out to Panther Mike.
Yeah.
Shout out Panther Mike.
He gave me you know, we worked on some chipping on one in the shootout. And, yeah.
Can we go? All right,
we gotta wrap this up.
Can you tell the real estate agent story?
Hey, did you lay down in the Sawgrass shootout?
No, absolutely not.
DJ's been floating that rumor around, and it was it just that you
I
didn't
will
have
say.
Any,
can we
set up
what
the,
nobody
friend.
Knows what the Sawgrass Shootout is. This
the
is a horrible radio. You
Sawgrass
set this
Shootout.
Up.
We got 10 of us to go play Oak Bridge National across the street.
OBC. Yeah.
Across
Oak
the river.
OBN.
Did you see us float across the river today?
I did see that. That was epic. And we went a little elimination style. And I feel like next year it's kind of going to be the big draw. I feel like we might
get more.
Yeah, I feel like we might get more people out watching than maybe like a Monday practice round at the Players.
Yeah.
I think the shootout format's got legitimate legs.
Oh, huge legs.
You should take the last Monday qualifier spot and field one day and do a shootout with the next nine holes.
Yeah.
Shootout.
I like
it. Incredible.
It'd be incredible.
Yeah.
So you guys were in the finals. You and Andy
were
the two finalists, last two guys standing. Zach hits it into a fairway bunker. What was the number?
We didn't have numbers.
We didn't.
It was really far.
There were no yards.
I mean,
it
was like 250-ish, like 240, 250.
You were probably
maybe
260. Maybe
260.
Yeah,
260. Maybe 2.5 feet off the lip of this bunker.
No,
off the lip
like
of this...
3 yards. Like 3 yards.
I don't know.
I made, you know...
You had a three, like probably
I mean, when
three
you, when
lip
you said I'm
going to
hit
two
wood, I looked at it and I was like... there's no fucking way he's gonna hit
Zach
it.
Zach tries to hit a flop 3 wood.
No, I could have hit that if I would have had a little better lie. It was no problem.
No way,
bro. We could go out right now in the dark and we could hit that shot.
So it popped back and then you hit.
Saw me take it over the tree on 11 with the 3 wood. I've got the lob wood. I've got that shot.
Ivy League lob wood.
No, well, yeah, sure. Yeah, I was with the No Laying Up crew again, and I felt like
I laid up.
I needed to.
I didn't have a club though.
I needed to gain some respect.
Oh, yeah, well, that's another thing. There was also a battle golf element.
Yeah, the thing that got lost in the edit, we'll put it
on the
website, guy. Was that you know DJ just edited it out. The rule was you had to drop a club every hole.
Well, I mean, we can't make it a 20-minute video.
So,
how
would you describe Andrew's game? I think he's a mix of Kuchar and Brendan Steele.
I think that's a great compliment. By the way.
That is.
That's about 10
Kuch backdoor can
10 wins
like,
between the two of them there.
Players Championship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Valero Texas Open.
I would take that. I mean he played good. He came in like really heavy in the sandbag status, asking for 4, but. I liked it. He just piped one right down the middle on one, and
everyone pumped one down the middle.
Yeah, that was an incredible display.
That's some of the best driving I've ever seen.
That was pretty good.
Panther
Mike
got a little loose. Johnny bounced back.
Shout out to Brandon.
Another thing that I feel very bad about in the edit was Panther Mike. It didn't look good in the edit, and he really bounced back against some quality golf shots.
Eliminated.
Yeah.
Fake news.
Yeah, it was a little fake news. But, you know, it's about telling the story.
I think we were a little lax on the on the format and the rules.
Just figuring it out.
But I think we nailed it. I think we nailed it down, though.
Yeah.
I think we nailed the zombie roll was huge.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Two or three chip off at the end.
So
like,
if you made
every hole
birdie on the hole after you were eliminated, you were back.
You're back.
Hey, you know, I'm going to start a little website, sawgrassshootout.com.
Yeah.
If anybody buys a domain, you're a crooked thief. But
sawgrassshootout.co.
I think you were. They're already sending entries to Sean Martin. For next year.
People are blowing me up.
Many people.
Royce Thompson was walking around. He wanted to get in.
People are talking. You know, we've got another committed.
I heard Tyler might be making his comeback.
You should
there
give him a shout.
Next
be,
year.
I think that'd be a nice
little
gesture.
Tune-up before the players.
I think that'd be a nice gesture for him.
We could have some sugar-free popsicles.
I feel like he owes it to us.
Yeah. I think that'd be nice.
All right, last thing. You got to tell the real estate agent story. This is so good.
this is good. All right, so me and my wife were going to look at, like, houses and lots to potentially build a house on in Park City, Utah at Glen Wild, which is, like...
Oh, he's gonna put the...
Yeah.
Put the place on blast.
For sure. Of course. Especially after the way they treated me. Yeah, so at Glen Wild in Park City. And so I called the place up. I called the guy and was like, hey...
Here's his name. It's expensive.
Hey, I was wondering if you could take us around and look at some houses or look at some lots to, build on or buy, whatever. And he goes, what are you looking for? And I just told him, this is a pretty unique situation. You can kind of take me from... whatever you think fits, blah, blah, blah. And he hangs up on me. So I was like, wow, that was okay.
Not good.
Not good. So I call back like 4 or 5 times. He's screening my calls. Not good again. So I drive like 45 minutes up there to the office and I walk in.
What are you wearing at this time?
I mean, I wasn't looking dapper by any means, but I was in my normal attire, rocking some J's, maybe a hoodie and a hat, the Buck Club hat or something like that. And
Flex fit,
110p. So I walk in there and I go, hey, I called earlier. And the first thing he says goes, oh, you were that kid. So I was like, wow, like, okay, all right. And I go, that was pretty messed up. It's really messed up. Do you do that to everybody? And he goes, you weren't giving me a lot to go off of. And I was like, I gave you everything you needed to know. And he goes, he looks at me and kind of goes, I'm not sure if you know too much about the area, but this is a high-end golf community, and I'm not sure that you would fit in. So then I was like, wow, okay. I mean, I play on the PGA Tour. Like, I obviously know, what a golf community is. Or did I mention, he said... by the way you look, I'm not sure that you would fit in.
Profiling.
Totally. Heavy profiling.
Totally profiling.
Yeah, so,
extreme
I mean,
betting.
Yeah, it was pretty awkward, and so me and my wife obviously left.
You didn't ask any feel questions.
No feel questions.
I used to sell shit, that was what I did, and, the thing you're taught as a salesperson is, lost some softball down there. You just ask some open-ended questions.
Well, I was like, in today's, day and age, you never know who is, a tech billionaire or something.
Tricks.
Exactly. Exactly.
It gets back to big data. I'm sure.
Big data.
For
sure.
Your name probably popped up on the caller ID.
So anyways, I leave Glen Wild, pretty upset and, tweet something out, was just told that I wasn't aware of Glen Wild being a high-end golf community.
This thing
went crazy. People were freaking out. The newspaper got a hold of me and did a story about it in the Salt Lake Tribune.
Utah does not like when a hometown hero gets
take care of their own.
Yeah, they do.
Utah,
yeah. So this guy, it
Utah's
finally got back to
town.
This guy.
Utah gets they have a chip almost. If you diss the Jazz, they will come at you hard.
Yeah. So it got back to this guy, and he was he called me and wrote me this huge email and these texts and stuff like that, and was like, hey man, I'm just so sorry. I was having such a bad day, and I was like, bro, I gave you every chance to fix it. I drove 45 minutes to the office, and the first thing you said to me was oh, you're that kid that called. I felt so bad for my wife. First time looking for houses or anything.
I roll off in a decent car.
I mean, he didn't come out and check, but
This guy is a hack salesman.
We went next door to Promontory, the competing club, and we took down a lot.
Nice golf community
like that day.
It was another high end golf community.
Higher end.
What was the first question that guy asked you?
No questions.
No? What did they how'd they make small talk? What do you do?
Oh, at Promontory.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they were so nice over at Promontory. How you doing? You know, what are you doing? You know,
was this after the whole kerfuffle in the newspaper, or?
I mean, it was around that time, but I mean, we went in there and they were like complete opposite. Like, hey, do you want to sit down and talk about some options? Do you want to go look at some places?
Let's
talk about a strategy here. You know what I mean? And it was just like
it all goes back to width.
Yeah,
width
and options.
Yeah,
angles.
So I mean, shout out to Promontory for taking care of your boy.
You got all your sponsors in here.
Yeah.
I did. I also want to shout out Chris Malhopt, big listener to the pod, all of the pods. I got him so heavy into all you guys that he's like,
he's just a pod
about
monster.
That life.
Pod monster.
He's just diving into pods.
Dude, we gotta come out to SLC.
Dude, we'll go play the Buck Club, and we'll go skiing or something.
Sure.
I just moved in to my house.
Homeless Hubs thinks that he's the best skier on tour.
You know what? I was thinking about it the other day. There are some pretty good, like, isn't Keegan Bradley, he was like a ski racer.
Yeah.
And Justin Leonard, I think is like pretty heavy into it. But I mean, I grew up on the mountain. I mean, I don't think there's people too much better than me.
When we start our second, Sawgrass Shootout event, it's going to be a ski-golf combo event.
There's not a lot of places to ski around here.
Well,
that is true.
It's going to be an SLC. There'll be golf in the morning, ski in the afternoon. There'll be a little competition. It'll be weighted.
There's a lot of logistics.
So somebody
that's there's a lot of details to work out here.
Hey.
I think we need to nail down the format in the shootout before we start going
already,
dual
I'm
sports.
I'm an ideas guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks
for coming on.
It was awesome.
You know.
Thanks for a good week, man.
Great week.
No, great week. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Other than the 9 and the 6 on the par 3s, I mean, I feel like...
Could have been a different week.
Could have been huge.
You're just all about those...
It did all start bad when I didn't win the shootout, though.
Yeah,
it got off to
true.
A rocky start. You go in, it is a heavy favorite, and you come out not on top.
I should have laid down.
Tail between your legs.
It would have been,
a classy move for you.
This is... And this happened, and then we see Spieth at...
After I tried to tell you guys that we were in Spieth's head, after the whole telling him Andy's gearing up for local qualifiers, and what's he doing this week? MC Hammer.
Yeah, he hit it in the water, too.
He did hit it in the water. That's a bad... That's a tough
Andy's
hole.
In everybody's head.
I might be banned. Credentials revoked.
Yeah.
I heard you were already kind of on the...
Well, Blimpgate has gotten me on everybody's radar.
The blimp was flying super... Did you guys notice the blimp?
The plane was flying lower than the blimp today.
What was... What plane was it?
I don't know. Some scummy ad.
Scummy.
Dishonesty.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been fun.
All right.
And we'll...
Safe travels.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. See you guys later.
All right.
Later.